Friday, January the 8th, a desk day, a problem day. The State Department suggests that Prime Minister Pearson of Canada visit us at the ranch next Friday. In other words, that we spend the weekend immediately before the inaugural at the ranch. I can envision all the multitudinous last-minute problems of speech revision, clothes changes, household logistics with 21 or so house guests, and then the problem of what to do about repeating the series of congressional receptions this year. We can't have quite the same format for the women. If the men have an hour briefing, I'll have to come up with something new beside a private tour of the second floor living quarters for all those 8 or 10 groups of congressional women. And then the West Hall must have a quick SOS treatment. Mr. West and I got together. He produced a small rug to cover the worn-out spot in front of the handsome desk secretary, took off the slip covers, and sent some to the cleaners. Others wouldn't live through it. We switched chairs around, ordered some new glass curtains, so we'll just make it through the inauguration before there has to be some real changes in the West Hall. A session with Blair Whitehead, the librarian, who is leaving to be married, opening Pandora's box a bit on the relations between various White House personnel. I've spent a reasonably successful life in business and as a wife, studiously avoiding learning about inter-office rivalries and feuds. Perhaps sometimes I'll have to at least take cognizance of them to evaluate and work out the best staff I can. I worked on placing the books in the center hall bookcase so that any guest coming in could know us a bit from our books, ranging from mother's old favorites when I was 5 years old in handsome leather bindings to Steinbeck, Barbara Ward, and my treasured albums of pictures beginning with 1934. And then a long session with Bess and Liz, exploring the possibilities for me to work on, to apply myself particularly to, in 1965, perhaps accenting Lyndon's beautification program, depending on Stuart Udall as idea man and centering on Washington itself, and certainly something connected with the poverty program, although the first thing that's got to be done about that is to get rid of the title. This they've tried to do in naming it the Office of Economic Opportunity. Liz suggests Operation Head Start. Late in the afternoon, I had a hilarious session with Robin Duke and Liz, trying to describe each of my inaugural costumes for Liz's briefing of the press. We might as well have been trying to write in Sanskrit. Neither Liz nor I knew the vocabulary of the clothing trade, the fashion designers. I hope I come out of this one with dignity intact. Late in the evening, approaching 10, I went to Lyndon's office, hoping I could get him to come home and eat dinner. He was just finishing a talk with Marianne Means, who soon left, but then there was phone call after phone call. I doubt that it's helpful. It's probably more like nagging, but it's hard to stand by wordless or even selfishly pursue my own pleasures, of which there are many, when I know that wisdom and moderation indicate that he ought to come home and eat dinner before 10:30. I found that nice Dr. Gould was waiting for him, along with his nurse, for another check on his throat, determined to get him through the inaugural in good voice. Dr. Gould commented on what I had told him about Lyndon being a good student and able to pick up anything he was told if he was interested with extraordinary speed. And he said he never had seen anybody learn as quickly how to use and project and save their voice with the very brief session they had had together. I sometimes wonder what Lyndon would have been like if instead of being exposed in his youth to Johnson City and a state teacher's college, he had been exposed to a sophisticated society of many facets and a school like Harvard. It was 11:10 before we finally went in to dinner with Dr. Gould and his quiet, sweet little nurse, and then to bed and night reading.